أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ہم اس پر اس بات پر یقین
آفٹر ریسائٹنگ التشہد تعوذ اینڈ سورہ الفاتحہ حضرت خلیفۃ المسیح دی ففتھ ایدہ تعالیٰ ابن سلیزیز سٹیٹڈ وی فرملی بلیو اینڈ ہیو کمپلیٹ فیتھ دیٹ اف دیر ہیز ایور بین اے پرفیکٹ ہیومن بینگ ان دس ورلڈ اٹ واز حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نیدر بیفور ہم واز دیر اینی ہیومن بینگ ایز پرفیکٹ ایز ہی نور کین دیر ایور بی آفٹر ہم. The highest standards in fulfilling the rights owed to Allah the Almighty, fulfilling the rights owed to mankind, and exhibiting every noble moral quality and every excellent human attribute were all perfectly embodied in the person of the Holy Prophet. Whichever moral quality one may consider, the highest possible standard of it was found in him. A standard that no other human being possessed, nor possesses now, nor ever will possess. Among these noble qualities and characteristics is the quality of humility and meekness, the most perfect example of which was found in the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also consistently advised his followers that a believer should always strive to make the quality of humility a permanent part of their lives. Allah the Almighty instructed the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to proclaim this lofty moral quality in the Holy Quran with the words, which means to say, I am only a man like yourselves. Despite the fact that Allah the Almighty granted him the status of the Prophet who brought the final and perfect law, he was still commanded to announce, to say that I am a human being and a humble man. In this regard, I will present some ahadith and excerpts from the writings of the Prophet Messiah alayhi salam, which demonstrate the manifestation of this moral quality on various occasions. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, there exists no example in the world of a perfect human being greater than our noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nor can there ever be until the day of judgment. Observe that despite being granted miracles of power and authority, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always accompanied by the spirit of servitude to God. He remained a humble man and a humble servant, and repeatedly declared, Innama ana basharun mithlukum, that I am only a human being like yourselves. So much so that in the declaration of the unity of God, he made the acknowledgement of his servitude an essential component, without which a Muslim cannot even remain a Muslim. Reflect deeply and reflect again. When the perfect guide's own way of life teaches us that even after attaining the highest station of nearness to God, he never abandoned the acknowledgement of servitude, then for anyone else, even to entertain such thoughts or ideas in their heart, is utterly futile and meaningless. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam further states, one should avoid empty boasting, arrogance and conceit, and should adopt humility and courteousness. Look, an example of the humility and courteousness of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who was truly the greatest of all and most worthy of reverence, is found in the Holy Quran. It is written that a blind man used to come to study the Holy Quran with the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One day, the nobles of Makkah and the chieftains of the city were gathered around the Holy Prophet, and he was engaged in conversation with them. As a result of being preoccupied in the conversation, the ensuing delay caused the blind man to get up and leave. This was a trivial matter, but Allah the Almighty revealed a chapter about this. Upon this, the Holy Prophet went to his house, brought him back, and spreading his own blessed mantle, seated him upon it. The essential point is that it is incumbent upon those who in whose hearts dwells the grandeur of Allah to be humble and show humility, for they constantly quake and quiver before the self-sufficiency of God Almighty. Thus, this is not merely an isolated incident mentioned in the Holy Quran or narrated by the Promised Messiah. Rather, it is a lesson being imparted to us that the Holy Prophet is the perfect model for you. If you truly claim to love him, then you must too strive to attain the highest standards of humility and meekness. On one occasion, while drawing a believer's attention towards the reality of humility and acting upon it, the Holy Prophet said, as narrated by Hazrat Ibn Abbas, that every human being has two chains attached to his head. One chain extending towards the heavens and another extending towards the earth. When a servant adopts humility and meekness, the angel holding the heavenly chain raises him upwards. In other words, when a person lowers himself in humility, Allah the Almighty grants him an elevated rank. But when he adopts pride and rebellion, the earthly chain drags him downwards. The arrogant person's deeds are no longer worthy of acceptance in the sight of Allah the Almighty, and he has fallen low, cast down upon the earth. In another narration of Hazrat Ibn Abbas, it is stated, when a servant adopts humility, Allah the Almighty raises him up to the seventh heaven. Therefore, if we desire to attain the nearness of Allah the Almighty, humility is an extremely essential quality for that purpose. It is narrated from Hazrat Abu Huraira that the Holy Prophet ﷺ said, charity does not decrease from wealth in any way, and Allah does not increase a person through forgiveness except in honor. That is, forgiveness increases the honor of a person. And no one adopts humility for the sake of Allah except that Allah elevates him. Thus, these are fundamental principles that have been outlined for a believer, that charity and financial sacrifice do not reduce wealth, rather they increase it. Therefore, remove from your hearts the misconception that financial sacrifice will cause your wealth to diminish. Forgiveness and overlooking faults do not strip away your honor, rather they grant you honor. If people were truly to understand this reality, then many social disputes and conflicts in the world would be resolved. Then he said, by adopting humility, Allah the Almighty elevates a person. The more one increases in humility, the greater the rank that will be bestowed to you by Allah the Almighty. What were the standards of humility which the Holy Prophet set for himself? It is narrated from Hazrat Anas bin Malik that a man once addressed the Holy Prophet ﷺ saying, O Muhammad ﷺ, O our chief and son of our chief, O best among us, son of the best among us. Upon this the Holy Prophet said, people, demand righteousness for yourselves, lest Satan mislead you. I am Muhammad, son of Abdullah, the servant of Allah and His Messenger. I swear by God, I do not like that you raise me above the rank which Allah has granted me. Thus, the declaration which Allah the Almighty commanded him to make, he also proved through his practical example. Another example of his extreme humility is found in a hadith. Hazrat Abu Huraira states, I heard the Holy Prophet ﷺ say, no person will enter paradise solely because of his deeds. The companions asked, not even you, O Messenger of Allah. He replied, not even me, unless Allah shrouds me with His grace and mercy. Therefore, whatever deeds you do, do them perfectly, and perform them for the sake of attaining the nearness to Allah. And none of you should ever wish for death. If a person is righteous, perhaps he may continue to progress in righteousness. And if he is sinful, perhaps he may repent and make amends for the displeasure of Allah the Almighty. Then in another narration, Hazrat Abu Sayyid Khudri relates, one should love the poor and needy, because I heard the Holy Prophet ﷺ saying in his supplication, which means, O Allah, keep me alive as a poor man, cause me to die as a poor man, and raise me among the company of the poor. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abi Awfa narrates, the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to constantly be engaged in the remembrance of God and did not indulge in futile matters. He would prolong his prayers and shorten the sermon. He never thought ill of walking beside a widow or a poor person or of fulfilling their needs. Such was the level of his humility. His standards of worship were indeed lofty, but his humility was such that he would give complete time, patience, and attention to any poor person or widow who wished to speak to him. Hazrat Anas bin Malik narrates, even a maidservant among the women of Medina could take the hand of the Holy Prophet and lead him wherever she wished in order to assist her with her difficulty. It is narrated from Hazrat Anas that a woman who had learning difficulties, said, O Messenger of Allah, I need something from you. He replied, O mother of so-and-so, take me through whichever street you wish and I will assist you. Then he went with her along a path until she presented her issue and it was resolved. In some narrations it is mentioned that this woman's name was Zafar and that she was the maid of Hazrat Khadija. She had a simple nature and perhaps had learning needs. Sometimes there are some who cannot understand things or they fail to comprehend certain matters. It was not the case that she was, God forbid, completely intellectually challenged. Rather, she was of a simple nature. Despite this, the Holy Prophet cared for her feelings. In another narration, Adi bin Hatim states, I set out to meet the Messenger of Allah and reached Medina. I entered the mosque and presented myself before the Messenger of Allah and met him with the greetings of peace. The Holy Prophet asked, who are you? I replied, I am Adi bin Hatim. The Holy Prophet ﷺ stood up and began taking him towards his home. On the way, an elderly woman approached and spoke to the Holy Prophet for a long time regarding her needs. The Holy Prophet remained standing there for her sake. Adi says, I said to myself, this man cannot be a king. Kings do not stand like this for poor people. Kings do not possess such exemplary morals. Then the Holy Prophet took me into his home and picked up a thick cushion and placed it before me, saying, sit on this. There was a cushion in his house, so he gave it to the guest. I replied, you should sit on the cushion. The Holy Prophet replied, no, you sit on it. Eventually I sat upon it while the Holy Prophet sat on the ground. I thought to myself, this is certainly not the way of kings. These are the ways of an extremely humble person. He expressed love and showed humility even towards children and would be the first to greet them. Hazrat Anas relates that whenever the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited the Ansar, he would greet their children, pass his hand over their heads, and pray for them. Hazrat Ibn Mas'ud relates that on one occasion a man was brought before the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as he spoke to him, such was the awe of the Holy Prophet that the man's shoulders began to tremble. The Holy Prophet said to him, "Be at ease. I am not a king. I am merely the son of a woman who used to eat dried meat." The promised Messiah said, "Look, the success of our Holy Prophet was such that the likes of them are not found in any of the previous prophets. Yet, as God bestowed all the more success upon him, he grew all the more humble." An incident is recorded that once a man was caught and brought to the Holy Prophet. When the Holy Prophet looked at him, he was trembling and was terrified. When he came close, the Holy Prophet asked him very gently and kindly, "Why are you so frightened? After all, I am also a human being like you, and I am the son of a woman." He was far above all outward pretense and show, and this is particularly evident in the account of his migration to Medina, which we have heard recounted many times. It is related that when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arrived in Medina, the Muslims, upon hearing the news, sprang up and rushed to take up their weapons, going out to receive him at the plain of Harra. He turned right with them and alighted with them in the quarter of Banu Amr bin Auf. And this was on a Monday, in the month of Rabiul Awwal. Hazrat Abu Bakr stood to receive the people, while the Holy Prophet ﷺ sat quietly. Those among the Ansar who had not yet seen the Holy Prophet came forward and began offering their greetings to Hazrat Abu Bakr until the sun fell upon the Holy Prophet. Hazrat Abu Bakr rose and shaded him with his cloak, and it was only then that the people recognized the Holy Prophet. It is narrated by Hazrat Ibn Abbas that he heard Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu standing at the pulpit and saying, "I heard the Holy Prophet say, 'Do not go to excess in praising me as the Christians went to excess in praising the Son of Mary. I am only Allah's servant. Say that he is his servant and his messenger.'" Similarly, Ali bin Hassan narrated from his father, "Love us for the love of Islam. For the Holy Prophet ﷺ said to me, 'Do not elevate my rank beyond what is right. For Allah made me his servant before he made me his messenger.'" The Holy Prophet ﷺ said, "To love him on account of Islam." Mutarraf related that his father told him, "I went to the Holy Prophet ﷺ as part of a delegation from Banu Amir. We said, 'You are our master.' He replied, 'The master is Allah, the Blessed and Exalted.' We said, 'You are the most excellent among us in virtue and the greatest among us in beneficence.' He said, 'Say what you have to say and do not let Satan embolden you.'" Such was the depth of his humility. He checked them immediately, saying, "Leave all of this aside. Such sentiments may arise within you and may linger on. State the purpose of why you came here, and do not speak in this vain manner about me," even though the words of praise being used about him were words that could indeed have been attributed to him. Hazrat Rabia bin Muawiz bin Afra said, "On the night of my wedding, the Holy Prophet ﷺ came in and sat upon my bed, just as you are sitting with me." She said this to the person she was narrating it to. At that moment, some of our young girls began to beat the drum and singing the praises of my forefathers who had been killed at the Battle of Badr. And in the course of these verses, one of the girls sang, "Among us is a prophet who knows what tomorrow shall bring." He immediately said, "Leave that and sing what you were singing before. These words are wrong, that I know the unseen. The knowledge of the unseen belongs to Allah alone." Hazrat Abdullah narrated from the Holy Prophet ﷺ that he said, "No one should say that I am superior to Jonah, son of Amittai. Despite being superior, he forbade such comparisons and expressed the most profound humility." Likewise, Hazrat Anas bin Malik relates that a man came before the Holy Prophet ﷺ and said, "O Khairul Bariyah," i.e., "O best of creation." The Holy Prophet ﷺ replied, "That was Abraham. He was undoubtedly Khair al-Bariyah, the best of creation, and the most exalted among all created beings, the most exalted among all the prophets too. Yet with the utmost humility, he attributed that title to Prophet Abraham." Another instance of his humility is recorded in the narration of Hazrat Umar bin al-Khattab, who said, "On one occasion, a man called out to the Holy Prophet 3 times, and each time the Holy Prophet responded, 'I am here, I am here.' And when nearly all of Arabia had been brought under his banner, the conqueror of Arabia performed Hajj in the company of more than 100,000 companions. Yet such was his humility on that occasion that Hazrat Anas bin Malik relates that the Holy Prophet ﷺ performed Hajj on an ordinary mount with a plain saddle cloth worth no more than 4 dirhams, and not even that, for it was worth even less than that. It was a very simple cloth, and the Holy Prophet supplicated, 'Allahumma hajatan la riya'a fiha wala sum'a.' That is, 'O Allah, a hajj in which there is neither display nor desire for renown.'" The Promised Messiah alayhi salam, in praise and glorification of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, speaks of his names. He states, "The name of Ahmad is the manifestation of Jamal, and in contrast to this, the name of Muhammad is the manifestation of Jalal. The reason for this is that inherent in the name Muhammad is the quality of being the beloved, that is, the beloved of Allah the Almighty. Because having all praiseworthy excellences and possessing utmost beauty and all perfect praiseworthy excellences requires splendor, grandeur, awe, and glory." I.e., he possessed all perfect morals, and this only happens when the Jalal of Allah the Almighty descends upon a person, and a person manifests it. And also the lofty status is expressed. But inherent in the name Ahmad is the quality of falling in love. Because to praise someone demands humility, lovers' submissiveness and meekness. This is verily called a Jamali state, because it is filled with a deep love, and this condition requires humility and meekness. Our Holy Prophet ﷺ was eminently lovable, which is required by the name Muhammad, i.e., he was the beloved of God Almighty. Because being Muhammad, encompassing all praiseworthy excellences, is what brings into being the state of being eminently lovable. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ also possessed the best qualities of a lover, which the name Ahmad requires. I.e., the name Ahmad requires that he possesses the ability to love. For it is essential that a Hamid, i.e., the one who praises, must also be a Muhib, i.e., the one who loves. A person can only truly and perfectly praise someone when he is in love. Nay, rather, he is passionately in love. And in order to be a lover and a muhib, one needs to be submissive and humble. To be passionately in love requires one to show humility. One cannot fall passionately in love simply by exerting one's awe and influence. This is precisely the Jamali state necessary to realize the essence of Ahmadiyya. The belovedness which was inherent in the name Muhammad manifested through the companions. As for those who were insulting and rebellious, the Jalal of being the beloved of God subdued them. Since the Holy Prophet was the beloved of God, therefore he manifested his Jalal, and this was manifested through the companions, whereby the enemies were annihilated. Explaining this further, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states in one instance, there is an underlying secret in blessed names of the Holy Prophet, Muhammad and Ahmad. Each contain distinct excellences. The name Muhammad demands characteristics of glory and majestic greatness, because the name means the one who is praised immensely, and it is the hallmark of the one who is loved, because the one who is loved is praised. Therefore, this requires characteristics of glory and majesty. In the same manner, the name Ahmad inherently bears qualities of a lover, because the lover is the one who offers praise. Thus, just as the name Muhammad, in its majestic and capacity of being a beloved, desires glory and grandeur, in the same manner, the name Ahmad, in its loving and devoted splendor, desires humility and meekness. The second name Ahmad manifests the attributes of humility and meekness. The underlying secret in these names is that the life of the Holy Prophet has essentially been divided into two parts. First, there was his life in Makkah, which spanned a period of 13 years. The second part of his life was spent in Medina, which lasted 10 years. During his life in Makkah, we see a manifestation of his name Ahmad. During this time, the Holy Prophet engaged himself in weeping and crying before God Almighty day and night, and would spend his time seeking divine help in prayer. This was a time of extreme humility and meekness, though these states persisted afterwards as well, but at that time, only these characteristics were being manifested. Anyone who is fully aware of the manner in which the Holy Prophet spent his life during this time knows that no lover has ever cried and wept so fervently in search of their beloved as the Holy Prophet did during this life in Makkah, and nor will anyone ever be able to match him in this regard. The Prophet ﷺ is giving the example of how the Holy Prophet expressed being lost in the love for God Almighty. Though this was his state throughout his life, this was especially the hallmark of that period in his life. Then these lamentations of the Holy Prophet were not for his own soul, but due to his clear knowledge of the state of the world. The worship of God had disappeared completely. The soul and the inherent nature of the Holy Prophet was leavened by a faith in Allah the Exalted, which fostered within him pleasure and delight. The Holy Prophet naturally desired to fill the world with his pleasure and joy as well. But when he cast a glance on the world, he found that their capacities and natures had been strangely deformed, and there were many difficulties and hardships at hand. In short, the Holy Prophet would weep and cry over the state of the world, and he did so to such an extent that he may well nigh have lost his life. It is to this that the following words of the Allah the Exalted allude. That happily thou wilt grieve thyself to death because they believe not. This was the life of the Holy Prophet in which he humbly begged for divine grace and mercy, a life which showed a manifestation of his name Ahmad. During this era, the Holy Prophet was engaged in deep contemplation. The effects of his contemplation and prayer became apparent during the life in Medina, when the name Muhammad was manifested. The first period of his life was a life as a manifestation of the name Ahmad, and his life in Medina was a manifestation of the brilliance of his name Muhammad. As mentioned before, it was also through the companions that the enemy were destroyed, as is evident from the following verse. And they prayed for victory, and as a result thereof, every haughty enemy of the truth came to naught. During his life at Medina, when the enemy became fierce, it was at this time that the characteristics of the Holy Prophet's name as Muhammad became manifest, and every enemy was ruined and destroyed. Then he prayed for victory, and as a result, Allah the Almighty granted them victory over the enemy, and granted the Holy Prophet triumph over his enemies and destroyed them. At another instance, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam states, hence, on various instances, wherever the humility and humbleness of the Holy Prophet may be seen to reach the heights of perfection, it appears that he was supported and illuminated by the succor and light of the Holy Spirit in equal degree. The state of the deeds and actions of our noble Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam clearly demonstrates this. In fact, the sphere of his light and blessings is so vast that his manifestation and reflection can be observed to the extent into all eternity. this example will be seen forever. As such, all the bounty and grace of God Almighty that is being sent down in this day and age is received through obedience and subservience to none other than the Holy Prophet ﷺ. I truthfully say and proclaim on the basis of my own experience that no one can perform true virtue, attain the pleasure of God Almighty, and be fortunate enough to receive the divine favors, blessings, insights, verities, and visions that are bestowed upon one who purifies their soul to the highest degree until they are lost in subservience to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ. Evidence of this is found from the word of God Almighty Himself. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ. That say, if you love Allah, follow me, then Allah will love you. I am a practical and living proof of this claim by God Almighty. The Prophet ﷺ says that he is a practical manifestation of this claim due to his love for the Holy Prophet ﷺ, as a result of which he received the blessings of Allah the Almighty. Recognize me in the light of the hallmarks that represent the saints and the beloved of God Almighty as established by the Holy Quran. Hence, the noble Prophet possessed such perfect morals that even if an old lady took hold of his hand, the Holy Prophet would remain there listening to her attentively, and until she would leave, he would not leave her. In one narration, the humility and simplicity of the Holy Prophet are described in the following manner. Hazrat Anas bin Malik relates that the Holy Prophet ﷺ would visit the sick, attend funeral processions, ride upon a donkey, even though it was considered a very ordinary means of transport, and accept the invitation of a slave. On the day of the Banu Qurayza, he was riding upon a donkey whose reins were made from rope fashioned out of date palm bark, and whose saddle was likewise made from date palm fibers. In other words, it was extremely simple and modest. In another narration, Hazrat Usman stated during a sermon, "By Allah, we remained in the company of the Holy Prophet both during journeys and while residing at home. The Holy Prophet would visit our sick, accompany our funerals, and remained with us in every circumstance and every matter." Similarly, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If I were invited to partake of a sheep's foreleg or trotter, I would certainly accept the invitation. And if a sheep's foreleg or trotter was sent to me as a gift, I would certainly accept it." Thus, even the invitation of something very simple or a humble gift would be accepted by the Holy Prophet. Hazrat Anas bin Malik narrates, "One day, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was invited to a meal consisting of barley bread and aged fat, and he happily accepted the invitation." In another narration, the simplicity of the Holy Prophet's meal is described as follows. Hazrat Anas bin Malik relates that one day, a tailor invited the Holy Prophet to a meal he had prepared. Hazrat Anas bin Malik says, "I accompanied the Holy Prophet to that meal. Bread and a broth containing pieces of gourd and chunks of meat were placed before the Holy Prophet. I observed that the Holy Prophet searching around the bowl for the pieces of gourd, leaving aside the meat." Hazrat Anas says, "From that very day onward, I began eating and liking gourd." Here I would also like to mention something for our guests, as there is a lesson in this for them as well. During Jalsa days, especially in the langar, some people occasionally complain, saying they should not be given potatoes, but should only be given the meat. Therefore, always keep the example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ in mind. Food is prepared according to a proper measure and quantity, so one should partake of whatever is available and eat whatever may be offered, whether vegetables or meat, and eat it with contentment. Another example illustrating the Holy Prophet's consideration for the feeling of others and showing humility is found in the following narration. Hazrat Jabir bin Abdullah relates that the Holy Prophet took the hand of a leper and had him eat out of the same bowl as him. Then he said, "Eat in the name of Allah, placing your complete trust in Him." Similarly, Hazrat Usama bin Zayd narrates that the Holy Prophet ﷺ rode upon a donkey covered with a cloak made in Fadak, and he seated Hazrat Usama bin Zayd behind him. He did not concern himself with who was or who was not seated with him. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abbas narrates that on the day of sacrifice, the Holy Prophet seated Fazl bin Abbas behind him upon the back of the she-camel. Similarly, Hazrat Anas relates that when the Holy Prophet entered Makkah, people came forth to behold him. Due to his humility, his blessed head was lowered to the extent that it nearly touched the saddle of his camel. Surrounded by the people and despite the victory and great number of Muslims, his blessed beard was lowered in humility to the extent that it touched or was close to touching the saddle. At the moment, he said, that, O Allah, truly the real life is the life of the hereafter. One aspect of his justice, fairness, humility and meekness was that he seated behind him Usama, the son of his freed slave Zayd bin Harsa, despite the presence of the chiefs of the Quraysh and the sons of Banu Hashim. The Prophet ﷺ states, the exaltation that is granted to the special servants of God Almighty is characterized by humility, whereas the exaltation of Satan is accompanied by arrogance. That is, it contains pride within it. Observe how our noble Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, lowered his head and prostrated himself upon the conquest of Makkah in the very same manner as he used to bow and prostrate during the days of hardship and tribulation. When in the same Makkah, he was opposed in every possible way and subjected to persecution. When he reflected upon the condition in which he had departed from that city and the condition in which he had now returned, his heart became filled with gratitude to Allah and he fell into prostration. It is mentioned in a narration related by Abdullah bin Mas'ud, on the day of the Battle of Badr, one camel was assigned for every three men among us. Hazrat Abu Lubaba and Hazrat Ali were paired with the Holy Prophet ﷺ. When it came to the Holy Prophet's turn to walk, the two companions submitted, O Messenger of Allah, we shall walk in your place. Please remain mounted. The Holy Prophet replied, you are not stronger than I in walking, nor am I less in need of reward than you both. In another narration, it is related that the Holy Prophet was once traveling with his companions and instructed that a goat be prepared for a meal. One person said, O Messenger of Allah, I shall slaughter it. Another said, I shall skin it. A third said, I shall cook it. Thereupon the Holy Prophet said, and gathering the firewood shall be my responsibility. The companion submitted, O Messenger of Allah, we are sufficient for this on your behalf. The Holy Prophet replied, I know that you are sufficient for me, but I do not desire to appear distinguished among you. For Allah the Almighty dislikes that a servant should seek prominence among his companions. He then arose and began collecting the firewood himself. There was hardly an occasion in which the Holy Prophet did not manifest his humility in a remarkable manner. In another narration, Aswad relates that he asked Hazrat Aisha what the Holy Prophet ﷺ used to do at home. She replied, he would occupy himself in serving his family. That is, he would assist them in their household tasks. And when the time for prayer arrived, he would go out for prayer. Thus, this is a lesson for those men who entirely refuse to assist in the household affairs, thereby giving rise to complaints from their wives. Similarly, Hisham bin Urwa narrates from his father that a man once asked Hazrat Aisha whether the Messenger of Allah performed any work at home. She replied, yes, the Messenger of Allah would mend his own shoes, sew his own clothes, and work within his home just as any one of you works in his home. This also makes evident that the companions, following the noble example of the Holy Prophet, would assist their wives in household matters. However, it should also remain clear that the primary responsibility of taking care of the household rests with the wife. And this should not be misunderstood to mean that women are absolved of their own responsibilities. Nevertheless, it remains the duty of the men to assist and support them. Likewise, another narration from Qasim states that Hazrat Aisha was asked what work the Messenger of Allah would do at home. She replied, he was but a human being among human beings. He would dust his own clothes, milk his own goat, and attend to his own work himself. Another narration from Hazrat Abu Burda includes an addition that the Holy Prophet would wear woolen garments, tether his own animals, and personally go to inquire after and honor his guests. He himself would extend hospitality to them. He would wear all kinds of clothing, even coarse and rough garments, and his attire was marked with simplicity. Hazrat Amr bin Rabia narrates that a man said, "I once accompanied the Holy Prophet ﷺ on the way to the mosque. During this journey, the strap of his sandal broke, so I took it in order to repair it. The Holy Prophet took the sandal back from my hand and said, 'This is preferential treatment, and I do not like preferential treatment.'" Hasna bin Khalid and Su'ab bin Khalid narrate that they both came into the presence of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was engaged in repairing a wall or attending to some maintenance work in one of his houses. Thus, he would himself carry out work within his home with his own hands. Likewise, Sahih Bukhari contains a detailed account regarding the construction of Masjid Nabawi. When the she-camel of the Holy Prophet came to rest upon a piece of land belonging to two young boys, he said, "This place is suitable for us." Although the boys were unwilling to accept payment, the Holy Prophet nevertheless paid them the price of the land. Thereafter, when the construction of the mosque commenced, he joined the people and began carrying bricks himself personally and participating in the labor involved in building the mosque. Similarly, Hazrat Bara bin Azib narrates, "On the day of the Battle of the Trench, I saw the Messenger of Allah carrying earth to the extent that the dust had covered the hair upon his chest." Hazrat Anas bin Malik narrates, "One morning I brought Abdullah bin Abi Talha to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so that he may feed the newborn child with some honey with his blessed hand. I found the Holy Prophet holding in his hand an instrument used for branding animals. That is, a newborn was brought to give it honey whilst the Holy Prophet was occupied with work. In his hand was an instrument with which marks were branded upon animals so that they could be identified, and the Holy Prophet was branding the camels set aside for arms. His practice in every matter was that whenever there was an opportunity to do a task himself, he would do it, instead of calling on helpers." In one narration, Hazrat Abu Umama al-Bahili relates that the Holy Prophet ﷺ came to us whilst leaning upon a staff. When we saw him, we stood up. Upon this, the Holy Prophet said, "Do not do this, as the Persians stand for their elders." We submitted, "O Messenger of Allah, pray to Allah for us." The Holy Prophet prayed, that, "O Allah, forgive us, have mercy upon us, be pleased with us, accept from us, admit us into paradise, save us from the fire, and set all our affairs aright." The narrator says that it seemed as though we desired that the Holy Prophet should pray even more for us. The Holy Prophet then said, "Have I not gathered all these things for you together?" Meaning that this was a most comprehensive prayer. Hazrat Muslim Audh radiallahu anhu states, "The state of the Holy Prophet's humility was such that upon his arrival, he would prevent people from standing up for him and would say, 'This is the custom of the Persians. I am not a king. Rather, Allah the Almighty has made me a prophet.' Thus, the Holy Prophet set such high standards of humility, the like of which cannot be found anywhere else." And it is this very example that we should strive to follow, so that we too may become the recipients of the nearness of Allah the Almighty. Whilst admonishing us in the light of the example of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, "In my view, this is an excellent method of attaining purity. It is not possible to find a better method. Namely, that a person should not take pride or arrogance in any matter whatsoever, neither in knowledge, nor lineage, nor wealth. When Allah the Almighty grants a person sight, he perceives that every light which can deliver him from these darknesses comes only from the heavens, and that man is in ever need of heavenly light. Even the eye cannot see until the light of the sun, which comes from the heaven, appears. In the same way, the light which removes every kind of darkness and in its place produces the light of righteousness and purity comes only from the heaven. I say truly that man's righteousness, faith, worship and purity all come from heaven, and this depends upon the grace of Allah the Almighty. If He wills, He may establish it, and if He wills, He may take it away. Therefore, true understanding is that man should regard his self as crucified and utterly worthless, and falling at the threshold of the Divine, should seek the grace of Allah the Almighty with humility and meekness, and should pray for that light of understanding which burns away the passions of the self and creates within a light and a strength and fervor for good deeds. Then, if a person is granted a share of this grace and his heart is opened and illuminated, he should not become arrogant or proud on account of it. Rather, he should increase further in humility and meekness. For the more a person considers himself to be nothing, the more the manifestations of the light of Allah the Almighty shall descend upon him, which will grant him strength. If a person holds this belief, then it is considered that through the grace of Allah the Almighty, his moral condition shall become excellent. To consider oneself something in this world is itself arrogance, and this very condition develops within a person. Subsequently, such a state overtakes him that he curses others and considers them contemptible. The Prophet ﷺ further states, "Man who is but a humble creation thinks himself immune from the consequences of his deeds, and as a result, pride and haughtiness develop within him. Until a person regards himself as the most inferior in the way of Allah, he cannot attain deliverance." Kabir Bhagat Kabir, who is a Sufi poet in India, has spoken the truth when he said, "It is my good fortune that I was born into a humble family, for I greet everyone. Had I been born into privilege, how then would I have found God? That is, all praise belongs to Allah that I was born into a humble home. Had I been born into a noble family, I would not have found God." Whereas people would take pride in their higher caste, Kabir, whose family would weave cloth, would reflect upon his own background and be grateful. Thus, in each moment, man ought to analyze himself and reflect over how insignificant he is. What is his worth? Every human being, no matter how noble his lineage may be, if he truly reflects upon himself, then in one aspect or another, provided he possesses eyes to see, he shall certainly come to regard himself as insignificant and worthless before the whole universe. Until a person treats a poor and helpless old woman with the same morals that she shows or ought to show a person of high status and rank, and until he safeguards himself against every form of pride, arrogance and haughtiness, he can never, ever enter the kingdom of God Almighty. If one desires to attain Allah the Almighty, humility is an absolute necessity. May Allah the Almighty enable us to understand the true reality of humility, and to always keep before us the blessed example of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر